for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, August the 28th, 2008. Carla Batard is the speaker of this service teaching on vowels.
Okay. Now this is going to be speaking of new and different and peculiar and all the above. About 6 months ago, no, I take that back, it was June, Mike and I were watching something on television, and I heard a word, one word, and I thought, how strange. I told Mike, I just heard the word bowels, and it was so impressed upon me that I had to get out my concordance right then and do a word study on bowels. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Never heard a teaching on bowels, but tonight we're going to have a teaching on bowels. First of all, I'll tell you the definition that I found in the Strong Concordance. The Old Testament definition, it's a root meaning to be soft. The plural is the intestines. Collectively, it is the abdomen. Figuratively, it is sympathy. By implication, a vest. By extension, the stomach, the uterus. Or of men, the seat of the generations. And I guess that means like the male reproductive organs. It means the heart. Figuratively, it means belly, bowels, heart, and womb. Who would have guessed that the word bowels meant all of that? And if you get a picture of it, it actually is everything that is in our torso. It's all of our organs. The Webster Dictionary definition is intestine, gut, a division of the intestine, the seat or pity of tenderness and compassion. The interior parts, like everything that's in your torso. And then I went to the Old Testament scripture references, and I want us to look at Genesis 15:4, because what I found interesting is each one of these scriptures discusses something in particular that I think needs to be addressed in every one of us. So Genesis 15:4. Now we know that God gave Abram a promise. And Abram, in verse 4, it says, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir." See, he and Sarah decided that God needed some help with this prophecy that he had been given, because it wasn't coming to pass like he thought it should. So Sarah gave him his handmaiden and had Ishmael. But this is what God said: "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels," my Bible has loins, but it's bowels, "shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." Okay, now in, let's see, I don't have the scripture where he says that, maybe I just need to keep reading. "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Look down. No, I'm sorry, I don't have that scripture written down. But He said that Ishmael is not going to be your heir, but the heir that is going to come forth out of thine own bowels. And then he said to God later that you have given me no seed. How is this going to happen when you have given me no seed? So we see here that Abram questioned God in a way that we've all questioned God. There is a hint of a little bit of resentment there, that you told me that this was going to happen, but you've given me no seed. So there is like a blame game going on there, or a questioning God about what he had said. Maybe a little doubt was in there. But I think that we all, at times, depending on where we are in our lives and things that are going on, we know the promises, but it may not look like those things are going to come to pass, and we may all find ourselves questioning God about what he has said to us. So there was all of those things, doubt, unbelief, questioning, and maybe even a little resentment there that he has had no seed in order to bring this promise about. Look at Genesis 25:23. Now, he was talking about, in that particular instance, he's talking about the seat of generations that I read in the definition. Do y'all see that? It's referring to the heir that's going to come out of your bowels. It's just the reproduction part of Abram. So that is the seat of the generations, having to do with birth. Okay, Genesis 25:23. And the Lord said unto her, and he is talking to Rebekah, who is Isaac's wife, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be born of thee, or, let's see my reference, separated from thy bowels. See, we all know that babies don't actually come from the bowels, but in this particular interpretation, he is talking about the womb and the abdomen. So he tells Rebekah that two manner of people shall be born of thee out of her bowels. Okay, look at Numbers 5. You know, I found it interesting. In June, when the Lord gave this to me, I had no idea, you know, why he gave it to me. But since then, a pastor from Jasper died recently with a colon cancer. Another pastor I know was diagnosed with colon cancer. And my very dear friend just died with liver cancer. So we see that our bowels, and we'll see as we go on, the importance of allowing God to deal with these particular things that are brought up, because we were created to live in harmony and in peace and in the love of God, which will bring balance and health to our entire body. And it's important. And as time goes on, it's going to be even more important that we tend to these manifestations of these things having to do with our organs, which is all called bowels. Numbers 5, verses 11 through 31. Now, there is a very much in these scriptures. It says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man's wife go aside and commit a trespass against him, and the man lie with her carnally, and it be hidden from the eyes of her husband, and be kept secret, and she be defiled, there is no witness against her, and there is no witness against her, neither she be taken with the manner. He's talking about adultery. She is secretly seeing another man and laying with him. And the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled. Or if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled, Then shall the man bring his wife unto the priest, and he shall bring her offering for her, the tenth part of an ephah, of barley meal. He shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense thereon, for it is an offering of jealousy, an offering of memorial, bringing iniquity to remembrance. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord. And the priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel, and of the dust that is in the floor of the tabernacle, the priest shall take and put it into the water. And the priest, where's my stopping point? 31. And the priest shall set the woman before the Lord, and uncover the woman's head, and put the offering of memorial in her hands, which is the jealousy offering. And the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that causes the curse. And the priest shall charge her by an oath, and say unto the woman, no man hath lain with thee, and if thou hast not gone aside to uncleanness with another instead of thy husband, be thou free from this bitter water that causes the curse. But if thou hast gone aside to another instead of thy husband, and if thou be defiled, and some man have lain with thee beside thine husband, then the priest shall charge the woman with an oath of cursing. And the priest shall say unto the woman, the Lord make thee a curse and an oath among thy people, when the Lord doth make thy thigh to rot and thine abdomen to swell. And this water that causes the curse shall go into thy bowels and make thine abdomen to swell, thy belly to swell, and thy thigh to rot. And the woman shall say, amen, amen. And the priest shall write these curses in a book, and he shall blot them out with the bitter water. And he shall cause the woman to drink the bitter water that causes the curse, and the water that causes the curse shall enter into her and become bitter. See, there's some bitterness there. Then the priest shall take the jealousy offering out of the woman's hand and shall wave before the Lord and wave it upon the altar. Now, the jealousy that he's talking about here is not unholy jealousy. The man has a right to be jealous that his wife has lain with another man. So the spirit of jealousy is not really in this as so much it is the bitterness in the wife and the adultery that took place. And the priest shall take a handful of offering, even the memorial thereon, and burn it upon the altar, and afterwards shall cause the woman to drink the water. And when he hath made her drink the water, then it shall come to pass, if she be defiled and have done trespass against her husband, that the water that causes the curse shall enter into her and become bitter, and her belly shall swell, and her thigh shall rot, and the woman shall be a curse among her people. And if the woman be not defiled but be clean, then she shall be free and shall conceive seed. See, this may be a problem with women being able to conceive. And it could be a generational thing. If you have adultery that comes down the bloodline generationally, it could be a cause of some of these ailments that women suffer. This is the law of jealousies, when a wife goeth aside to another instead of her husband and is defiled, or when the spirit of jealousy come upon him and he be jealous over his wife and shall set the woman before the Lord, and the priest shall execute upon her all this law. Then shall the man be guiltless from iniquity, and this woman shall bear her iniquity. Now, it's wonderful that we don't still live in those days, that we are under grace now, but we're never exempt from sin. And I believe that if we commit these sins, then it's quite possible that these old curses that came upon the women can still come upon the women or the man. We'll see that one after a while. Proverbs 7, 1 through 27. Let's look at that. Proverbs 7, 1 through 27. Everybody there? My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the foreigner who flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark of night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and a subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she outside, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day I have paid my vow. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with embroidered works, with fine linen of Egypt. See, she creates the scene for him. She really plays on his ability to imagine this place that she has for him. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow or a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to a snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Okay. This is the one that addresses the liver, another one of the organs that is in our torso. But you see, because he went after the harlot, it says that an arrow strikes through his liver as a bird hasteneth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. So the liver can be an area where adultery in a man, fornication, even sitting and looking at pornography, all of these unholy things that man might entertain himself with could very well cause disease in the liver to the point that it takes his life. Okay, let's look at... And see, this that whole thing is talking about seducing spirits. You know, it's talking about the harlot. But it could be anything that seduces. You could be seduced by alcohol. You know, you could take on a lover of golf. You know, it becomes another lover. Do you know what I mean? It's not like literal adultery, but even just things that will take you away from your devotion to your wife, or the time that should belong to her that she doesn't get. And so these are areas that we need to be careful in. 1 Kings 3, on those seducing spirits, we won't flip back to that, but in Proverbs 6:26, it says that she hunts for the precious life, the valuable life. That's why I believe that so many pastors, you know, get sucked into this, because Satan is after the life with purpose, the one who is going to make great strides in the kingdom. That's who he really likes to get. 1 Kings 3:1-28. Wow, that's an awful lot of scriptures. Okay. And Solomon made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places. because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, whom thou hast chosen, a great people, who cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart, to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy great people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any rise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. Then came there two women who were harlots unto the king, and stood before him. And the one woman said, "O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, except we two. And this woman's child died in the night, because she lay on it. And she arose at midnight, and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my child, behold, it was dead. And when I had looked at it in the morning, behold, it was not my son whom I did bear. And the other woman said, "Nay, but the living child is my son, and the dead is thy son." And this said, "No, but the dead child is thy son, and the living is my son." Thus they spoke before the king. Then said the king, "The one saith, 'This is my son who liveth, and thy son is dead.' And the other saith, 'Nay, but thy son is the dead child, and my son is the living.'" And the king said, "Bring me a sword." And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, "Divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other." Then spoke the woman whose living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, "O my Lord, give her the living child, and by no means slay it." But the other said, "Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it." Then the king answered and said, "Give her the living child, and by no means slay it. She is the mother of it." So see, in these scriptures, it has to do with wisdom. It has to do with justice, proper judgment. Compassion is there. A right heart attitude. All of those things are dealt with in those scriptures. And so we examine ourselves to make sure that we are dealing with things in not our wisdom, but God's wisdom. And to have justice, to love justice. He says, hate evil and love justice. To do the right thing. To have proper judgment. You know, lots of times, we improperly judge people. We judge with our judgment. And we're not supposed to judge at all. That's God's business. But see, there was proper judgment there. So could it be that if we improperly judge, that we don't use God's wisdom but our own, that we lack compassion and really have hardness of heart just to get our way, to have a right heart attitude, that even just not having a right heart attitude can have an effect on our bowels, on our heart, on our lungs, on our stomachs, our digestive systems, the whole, everything that's in our torso can be affected when we don't operate in these things that God is showing us. Look at 2 Chronicles 21. And this is going to be kind of a short lesson tonight. I know we've all had long days today. And so we're going to get a good night's sleep tonight. 2 Chronicles 21:12. And we're going to read down to verse 19. 2 Chronicles 21:12. And there came a writing to him from Elijah, the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa king of Judah, but hast walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a-whoring, like the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also hast slain thy brethren of thy father's house, who were better than thyself. Behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people, and thy children, and thy wives, and all thy goods. And thou shalt have great sickness of disease of thy bowels, until they fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and of the Arabians who were near the Ethiopians, and they came up into Judah and broke into it, and carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also and his wives, so that there was not a son left except Jehoaz, the youngest of his sons. And after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. And it came to pass in process of time, after the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness, so he died of severe diseases. And his people made no burning for him like the burning of his fathers. So see, this is, he's talking about spiritual adultery here. You didn't walk in faithfulness to God, but you've gone a-whoring, he says, which is spiritual adultery. So we want to guard against spiritual adultery. Look at Job 30. Job chapter 30. Look at verse 27. It says, My bowels boiled and rested not. The days of affliction came upon me. So we've all probably in our lifetime experienced that feeling of having our bowels boiling and resting not. It could be a virus or even just being in great distress or worry or anger or whatever would cause your bowels to boil and rest not. Loose bowels. Gassy, you know, a lot of gas can cause your bowels to boil. So we see that is a possibility. Now, I didn't read all of that. I mean, I read it whenever God gave me the scripture. I read the whole chapter, but I'm not going to read the whole chapter. But it says that his heart was in turmoil. That's what they replaced with my bowels boiled. So see, they're replacing it with heart because all of these organs are in the definition of bowels. All of our soft tissue organs. Okay, look at Psalm 22. Psalm 22. You know, this pastor friend that died with colon cancer confessed before he died that he had withheld great anger towards his wife. It was a second marriage, and she had children from another marriage, and they were all having problems and would call all the time. One had many, many illegitimate children, and every time she would have another baby, the wife would go get her and bring her home, and they just had, you know, he was very angry. And, you know, when it's funny how we think that we can hide these things and that they won't have an effect on us, but they have a great effect on us. And so we need to stay in repentance and forgiveness. See, if he was angry for a long time, then he withheld forgiveness, and that disturbs the peace of our bodies, the harmony that God created us to live with in our bodies. So Psalm 22. Okay, I'm going to read. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, haven't we all felt like that at one time in our lives? Jesus said that on the cross, and he can relate with everything. He experienced every single thing that we experience. Well, one day I challenged him on that because, you know, I knew that he was tempted in all ways like we are, it says in the Word. And we were having a lot of trouble with one of our sons, and I was really put out with this son. And I was put out with my husband because he wouldn't put the son out. But anyway, I said, Lord, you say that you are tempted in all ways just like we are, but you've never had a mate and you've never had a teenager to deal with. And I went on about my day. But the next time that I got quiet, I heard the Lord say to me, the church is my bride, and all of you are my children. And I was like, forgive me, Lord. And you've got it 1,000 times over. So I had to repent of flying off at the Lord when in my anger. So, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou who inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I, a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised by the people. Sounds like a little pity party, doesn't it? All they who see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. But thou art he who took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's bowels. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. Now listen to all of these body parts that are in here. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may count all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my only one from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, and thou hast heard me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye who fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hidden his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. And they that are fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. So you see, it says his heart is like wax. That could be like all heart disease, weak hearts, hearts that maybe low blood pressure, bad circulation. If your heart is weak, you know, it can't pump the blood properly. And so all of these things. And you see he was feeling sorry for himself, you know. He felt like God had left him. He was in all this trouble, and he felt like God wasn't doing anything for him. So he felt we all at sometimes feel forsaken by God, and it can cause weakness and affliction. Look at Psalm 109. Now this is a little different, but it was an eye-opener for me. 109, I'm going to start at verse 1. Hold not thy peace, O God, of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. Haven't we all had that happen to us? You know, one of the greatest things my daddy ever taught me, I was young when he taught me this, and he died in 84, but if I could talk to him today, I would say, Daddy, thank you for that you taught me when I was 13 years old. Because it has saved me so many times from feeling persecuted or feeling a need to take revenge. And I'll tell you what the lesson was. When I was in junior high school, I rode the bus to school. And there was a kid that lived on our street. His parents were both alcoholics, and he was totally left to himself. He had nobody to love him. Now, I didn't understand all of this when I was 13. You know, I was living in my own little world. And I had a good world. You know, I had a good mom and a dad that loved me and two brothers, and we loved each other, and we had a happy family. We did things together. And this boy hated us because he was so wounded in his loneliness, in his abandonment. And so it caused him to be ugly. He would slit our bicycle tires if he had the chance. He would throw rocks and break our windows. He would make prank phone calls to our house. Once, I remember I was younger than this at the time, but it was Christmas Eve and we were going to my great-grandmother's house. And I had on this dress with a velvet skirt. And I was real young. I was sitting out on the curb waiting for everybody else to get ready. And I had my dress, it was long, like mid-calf, and I had it over my knees, and I had my knees spread out, so there was this, like, cup. The skirt made a cup, and I was just feeling that velvet. And he was riding his bicycle. And he came by, and you know how men do, I can't even mock it, but they snort and spit. It's just disgusting. But he did that and spit right in the center of my dress. And so, you know, all of those were just things that we lived with him on our street. And so he would get on the back of the school bus with all the other junior high school boys that were kind of punky. You know, they were all troublemakers. And he would talk loud enough on the bus for everybody on the bus to hear. And what he would say on the bus, we lived on a street that dead-ended. There was a field down at the end of the street, and they were fixing to build a new subdivision. And there were all of these pipes for the sewage and all of that. Well, he would say that I would meet him at the end of the road, and I would undress for him. And, you know, it never made sense to me. Why me? I mean, until I was 18, I looked like a 9-year-old boy. Why me? There were girls on the bus that were loaded. They had all the goods. Why me? Is he going to say this about? But let me tell you, it's always spiritual. It's always spiritual. It's true. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. Okay, so I would go home every day crying because everybody would laugh and, you know, and I had no way of defending myself. And so I would go home crying. Well, my daddy's shift worked, and so sometimes he wasn't home when I got home from school, so I could cry in private. But when he worked days, he was home when I got home from school. And it bothered him to see me cry. And so he would ask me about it, and I wouldn't tell him because I was ashamed to tell him what they were saying. So finally one day he just sat me down and he said, "You're not getting up until you tell me what is the matter." So I told him what this boy was doing. And he said, "Well, Pumpkin, is it true?" And I said, you know, I just thought, it just crushed me that I thought my daddy would have to ask me. He said, "I know it's not true. I'm asking you, do you know it's not true?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, as long as you know it's not true and God knows it's not true, you don't pay it any mind. And eventually, they will let it go. But if you cry and you try to, you know, tell them it's not true and all of that, well, that's what he wants. So you just ignore it." And I'm going to tell you something. That is the best lesson my daddy ever taught me. Because it works today just like it worked when I was 13. As long as I know it's not true and God knows it's not true, I don't have to worry about it. So, the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. There it is. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries. But I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me with evil for good and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. Now, you know, we're not in those days either. We don't pray. You know, sometimes we can look at the scripture for guidance in how to pray. Well, we don't pray like this. Jesus came and changed all of that. He said, "Repent," and that means change your thinking. So, here was the old way. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. And when he should be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin, and let his days be few. And let, you know, all these spouting of today, they would be curses. You would be cursing people if you prayed for them that way. Jesus said, "Love your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you." See, that calls for a change in thinking, doesn't it? Let his children be fatherless, and let his wife a widow. Let his children be continually wanderers and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he has, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Well, he just goes on and on and on with this. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off in the generation following, and their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may be cut off from the memory of them from the earth, because he remembered not to show mercy but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. Are y'all hearing this? This is showing a lack of mercy, a lack of compassion, persecuting the poor and the needy, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighteth not in blessing, so let it be far from him. Now there is a spiritual principle that is still in effect. You reap what you sow. As he clothed himself with cursings, as with his garment, so let it come into his bowels, like water and like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as the garment which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and of them that speak evil against my soul. But do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down like the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shook their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. See, there's confusion. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. So there's rebellion in that scripture too. He's rebellious. He's cursing and asking for bad things. So he's rebelling against his own soul. He's rebelling against himself. When you wish bad on somebody, you're really rebelling against your own self and bringing those things to yourself. Look at Lamentations 1. Lamentations. I won't read all of this. You can read it if you want to some other time. But verse 20 says, Behold, O Lord, I am in distress. My bowels are troubled. Mine heart is turned within me, for I have grievously rebelled. Abroad the sword bereaveth, at home it's like death. So there's a lot in those scriptures that he says, but in the things that he was going through, his sorrow and adultery, he's with someone he shouldn't be with. So his bowels were troubled and his heart was turned within himself because of rebellion. So we need to beware of rebellion. Look at Lamentations 2:11. This may have something to do with eye trouble. Who knows? Mine eyes do fail with tears. My bowels are troubled. My liver is poured upon the earth for the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the sucklings swoon in the streets of the city. So see, grief can have maybe an effect on our eyes. It says our eyes fail with tears. My bowels are troubled. My liver is poured upon the earth. Listen to the definition of liver. It means to be heavy, heavy laden, abounding with more grievously affliction, hardened, made heavy, and having self-honor, which is pride. So the liver can be also affected with heaviness. If you carry a spirit of heaviness too long, it can have an effect on your liver. Pride can affect our liver. Being hardened. If you are not compassionate with people and have a heart of forgiveness and understanding, could it have an effect on our liver? Some New Testament, well, let me see. New Testament references. Look at Acts 1:15-20. You know, when this came to me, my good friend who just died about 2 weeks ago had a tumor on her liver. And she has an only child, a son, who about 2 years ago she found out that he was living a homosexual lifestyle. And it broke her heart. It grieved her. And when I read this, I thought, oh my goodness, the liver to be heavy, heavy laden, abounding more grievously affliction, in self-honor, in that pride, there was, you know, a real need to hide that news. And it was very grievous. And so when I read this, I called her and I said, how long ago was it that you learned that news? And she said, about 2 years ago. And I said, when were you diagnosed with this tumor on your liver? And she went, 2 years ago. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. The Strong's definition, the New Testament definition from the Strong's Concordance for bowels is intestines, the spleen. Figuratively, it means pity or sympathy, moved with compassion. And here's the definition of spleen. A very vascular, ductless organ near the stomach or intestines of most vertebrates concerned with final destruction of blood cells. So this could be a route to blood disorders. Isn't that what leukemia does? It destroys the blood cells. Is that what happens with leukemia? It's concerned with the final destruction of blood cells, storage of blood, and production of lymphocytes. So that it has to do with your lymph glands, your lymph system. The second definition of the word spleen is anger, malice, and spite. So that spleen is, it does a lot of things. Acts 1:15-20. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together was about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Judas, who was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. It was a terrible death to just have your insides just come out of your body. Look at 1 John 3:17. Well, let me go back a little bit. Start at 11. Chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and killed his brother. And why killed he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. See, there it is. That those that are evil hate the righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Whoa, that's pretty heavy. Like Jesus said, God said, thou shalt not commit adultery, but when Jesus came, he said, but if you even look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery already. See, that calls for a change in thinking. It's not just our actions, it's our our thoughts and the intents of our hearts. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. By this perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good and sees his brother have need, and shutteth up his compassion or his bowels from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So see, it's talking about shutting up his bowels, having no compassion when it's needed. So what can you think of some things that would happen if you shut up your bowels? You'd get constipated, wouldn't you? You'd explode. But maybe that's a cause. Maybe it's a cause of constipation. We shut up our bowels. Impacted bowels. Tell me some more, because I'm not real familiar. I don't have that trouble. Colitis. What about, is diverticulitis? Does that have to do?
People that practice witchcraft use a zodiac to cast a spell, and it can cause constipation.
Okay. That doesn't surprise me. So you can be hard-hearted, and it can cause trouble in your bowels. May even cause trouble in your heart. Hardening of the arteries. Cancer. Yes. Then I'm going to look at Deuteronomy 15. I've got a reference there. Let me see what that says. Deuteronomy 15, 6 through 10. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of the gates in thy land which the Lord God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. And thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he lacketh. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him nothing, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be a sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. Because for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thy hand unto. See, so it's the attitudes of your heart as well as your actions. And the last one is Colossians 3, verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the sons of disobedience. In the which ye also once walked when you lived in them, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man that is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, free, but Christ all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, you so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So I'll say that in closing. All that, to love, forgive, have tender mercy. So if you have any of these problems in your body, with your heart, these are not things that can be cast out, actually. It's a discipline. We have to do what the Word of God says. He forgave, we must forgive. He says that blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You know why he loves mercy? If we are merciful, it's because we're acting like him. He loves that. So let's just pray. And the rest of the time you're here at camp, examine yourself. Examine your physical self to know if there's any problems in your heart, in your circulation, in your bowels, in your liver, in your spleen, in your stomach, in your lungs. I thought it was interesting. By implication, a vest. What is it right here? That's where your lungs are. It's like a vest. And your ribs, your bones, your belly, having trouble with your belly, your reproductive organs. All of these things are covered in the bowels. Isn't that interesting? I thought it was really interesting. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it covers every single thing that concerns us. Lord, we thank you that you shed your blood on the cross so that we could be healed. And we all desire to be healed and to walk in divine health. But Lord, there are some conditions. We must forgive. Lord, you shed your blood and we are healed. But we have to make sure that we have a right heart attitude, that we do not unjustly judge. Lord, let us keep our eyes on ourselves. We can only be accountable for ourselves. And Lord, when we do see things that we judge may be a problem, let us pray for that person. Let us pray for our own selves when things are awry, when we're angry, when we withhold forgiveness, or when we shut up our bowels of compassion. So Lord, I just ask that you examine each one of us and speak to us. Lord, let us ask you, Lord, is there anything going on in my body that is a physical manifestation of a spiritual problem that I need to deal with? It can't be cast out of me. I have to line up with your word in order to live in that harmony that you created us to live in, that perfect peace, even in our bowels. That's what we're asking for, Lord. And we just give you thanks for this information. I thank you that it has made me healthier already. In Jesus' name, amen. A prayer meeting at 6 o'clock in the morning. Don't miss it. It's wonderful.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.